Ever catch yourself wondering about, the future?
Yeah.
Especially with how climate change is playing out.
That's a big question, isn't it?
It really is. But get this, some researchers in Sweden are acting like they found a crystal ball, at least when it comes to oak forests.
Really? Now that's a bold claim.
Yeah, and their research is fascinating. They're saying Swedish oak forests are like on the verge of a major makeover, and I'm not just talking about a few degrees warmer. These forests, they could actually end up dominating the landscape as the climate shifts.
Dominate. Wow. Okay, so you're telling me, like, if we can understand how these oak trees adapt to a warmer world, it could give us some insight into what happens to, like, entire ecosystems.
Exactly. And that's where things get super clever. We can't, actually fast forward to the future and see what happens, obviously.
Right.
But these researchers, they found a pretty ingenious workaround.
Okay, you've got to tell me more. What did they do?
Imagine, right, using a map, but it's like a time machine. Picture Sweden. You've got the warmer south and the cooler north. And climate models, they predict that thanks to climate change, the north, it's on track to reach temperatures that are currently found in the south pretty quickly, too.
Oh, wow. So are they basically saying if you want to know the future of the North, just look at what's happening in the South?
Exactly. They call it, get this, space for time substitution.
Space for time. I kind of like it.
Yeah, so by comparing oak forests along that south-north gradient, like a natural line across the country, they get this like preview of how those northern forests might adapt as temperatures rise. It's like a sneak peek into the future, all thanks to geography.
That is clever. But okay, I have to ask, what were they looking at in these forests exactly? I mean, was it just the trees themselves or?
They went all out. We're talking 22 different forest sites across Sweden. Some were protected, some not. And they analyzed everything. Plants, insects, even the spiders hanging out with the oaks.
Spiders too. Wow, that's a lot of creepy crawlies to keep track of.
Yeah, it's a lot of data. But forget magnifying glasses, think high tech. They used DNA analysis to identify all the different species from the samples they collected.
Wow, so like a genetic snapshot of these entire ecosystems.
Exactly. But they didn't stop there. They also dug into the history of these forests by, get this, analyzing the growth rings of the oak trees.
Ah, tree rings. Each ring represents a year of growth, right?
You got it. Wider ring, good year, lots of growth. Narrow ring, tough times. Each tree is like a living record of its life droughts, heat waves, you name it.
Like reading their diaries.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got a time machine made of a map, DNA analysis, and tree diaries. What's next? You're gonna tell me they brought in a psychic squirrel or something?
Wow. Tempting, but no psychic squirrels this time. Let's stick with the science. We've got to check in with those climate models, remember, our metaphorical crystal ball, to really understand the researchers' findings.
Okay, makes sense. So, what's the climate forecast saying for these forests?
Well, the climate models revealed a really clear warming trend over the past 50 years. And get this, it's expected to continue, with the cooler northern parts of Sweden set to reach those southern temperatures, like within decades.
Wow, so this isn't some gradual change we're talking about. This is like a rapid makeover for those forests.
Exactly. And to make sure the models weren't exaggerating, the researchers compared those predictions to, the actual ground temperatures from each of their forest sites. Reality check.
Always a good idea. So, how did the climate models stack up against, well, reality?
They matched up pretty well. The ground measurements definitely show that overall warming trend the models predicted. But, and this is where it gets even more interesting, the ground temperatures, they were remarkably similar in both the protected and unprotected areas.
Hold on, wait. I thought protected areas were supposed to be more resilient to climate change. You know, cooler, less messed with by humans. Isn't that like kind of the point?
Right. You'd think so. And while some studies do show that, in this case, the overall warming trend, it was just so strong that any difference between protected and unprotected areas, totally insignificant.
So the whole region is heating up, protected or not, like a rising tide.
A rising tide, exactly. And that brings us back to those southern sites, our glimpse into the future, if you will.
Right, those crystal ball forests. So what's up with them? What did the researchers find down south?
Okay, this is where things get really interesting. Buckle up. So this is started by looking at biodiversity. The whole shebang, all the different plants and insects. And what they found totally threw them for a loop.
You're killing me. Just tell me, what was it?
Plant and arthropod species richness, it actually increased the farther north they went.
Hold on. Are you saying the cooler northern sites had more variety? Isn't that like the opposite of how it usually works? You don't exactly see documentaries about the incredible biodiversity of like the Arctic.
I know, right? It completely flips the script on the whole more species closer to the equator thing.
This is wild. So why are these Swedish oak forests like defying expectations?
Well, the researchers think those warmer southern sites, our crystal ball forests, they might hold a clue. Remember how we talked about them experiencing those climate change impacts faster and more intensely?
Right, like hitting fast forward on those effects.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the researchers think those southern forests might be seeing more species going locally extinct because the temperatures are rising so rapidly.
Makes sense. Some species can handle the heat, but for others, it's just too much. They hit their limit.
Exactly. Plus, it's probably not just the heat, right? You've got habitat loss, fragmentation, other human activities piling on the pressure.
A whole recipe for disaster for some species.
Exactly. So much for those southern forests being a haven for biodiversity, huh?
Well, hold on. It's not always that simple. It rarely is. I mean, these are incredibly complex systems, and there's always more to uncover. For example, the researchers compared biodiversity in those protected and unprotected areas. And you know how we always assume protected areas will be teeming with more species? Well, they stumbled across another unexpected finding.
Let me guess. No difference.
You got it. They found no significant difference in species variety between the two.
Wow, so just slapping a protected label on an area doesn't automatically mean more bugs and plants. Mm-hmm. Interesting. But does this mean that maybe, just maybe, those unprotected areas are being managed better than we give them credit for?
It's a possibility. Maybe those landowners outside the protected zones are onto something with their forestry techniques. But of course, we'd need more research to say for sure.
Right. It's not as simple as just assuming protected is better, at least not in this case.
Exactly. Way more nuanced. However, there was one interesting exception to that whole no difference thing. They did find a greater number of individual arthropods, so not different types, but sheer quantity in the protected areas.
Interesting. So they might not be hotspots for different critters, but they do seem to be doing a better job at supporting larger populations of the species that are there.
Exactly. Now, for one last plot twist in our biodiversity saga, you remember those northernmost sites? The ones right up against that biogeographical boundary that...
Limes Norlandicus.
Yes. The northern limit of where you find oak trees in Sweden.
Right, that invisible line where the climate and the forest types change.
Exactly. And the researchers think that because those northern sites are so close to that dividing line, they might act as a messing zone for different species, which could explain the higher biodiversity they found there.
A biodiversity melting pot. That's fascinating. But, okay, we've spent a lot of time with the little guys, all those plants and insects. What about the stars of the show, the oak trees themselves? What did those tree rings tell us about how they're handling a warming world?
It's a great question. And you know how those southern oak forests are like a sneak peek into the future for the north?
Yeah, like a glimpse into what happens as things warm up.
Exactly. So the researchers used those tree rings to see if those oaks up north are showing any signs of, you know, stress from climate change. Like, are they lagging behind in growth compared to their southern counterparts? You'd think warmer temperatures would generally equal faster growth, right? Hmm. Especially for oaks, since they actually thrive in warmer climates.
Right. Makes sense. Longer growing season, more time to soak up the sun, bigger trees.
Exactly. But are you ready for this? They found no significant difference in growth rates.
Wait, really? Those northern oaks are keeping pace with the ones down south, even with those shorter summers. That doesn't seem possible.
I know. It's like those northern oaks have a secret weapon or something. Like they've adapted over time to those cooler temperatures, those shorter growing seasons. Maybe they've become incredibly efficient at using those long summer days they get up north, like maximizing every minute of sunlight to fuel their growth.
It's like they're super efficient solar panels or something.
Exactly. And if you remember, we were talking earlier about how those different management practices, you know, protected versus unprotected, didn't really seem to affect the ground temperature finding.
Right. It seemed like the whole region was warming up regardless.
Well, the tree ring data showed a similar thing when it came to growth rates. Protected or not, those oaks were growing at basically the same pace.
So it seems like those management practices, while they might be important for other reasons, they might not be the deciding factor in how well these oaks grow as the climate changes, at least not for now.
That seems to be the case.
Okay, so we've covered a lot. What does it all mean? I mean, what's the big picture for the future of these forests?
Well, I think one of the most important takeaways here is that climate change, it's already having a real impact, even if we don't always see it with our own eyes. And those subtle differences in latitude that the researchers use, remember the whole space for time idea, it just shows how much even small temperature changes can have these ripple effects across an entire ecosystem.
Yeah, and we saw that with the whole biodiversity thing too. Those southern forests might actually be losing species as temperatures climb, which is a pretty scary thought.
Absolutely. And it really underscores a crucial point. Some of our assumptions about conservation, like the idea that protected areas are always going to have greater biodiversity, that might not be the case as the climate changes.
So maybe it's time to rethink our approach to conservation.
100%. This research really highlights how important it is to ask, you know, deeper questions and be open to nuance, because it's not just as easy as saying, okay, protected equals good, unprotected equals bad. It's about understanding the specific needs of each species, how different management techniques impact them, and how all of that will change as the climate does.
It's like we need to become master problem solvers, ready to adapt our strategies as we learn more. It really is like we're piecing together this giant puzzle, and it's changing right before our eyes.
It really is. And honestly, that's what I find so inspiring about this research. It's like a good reminder that we always need to stay curious, keep asking those questions, even if the answers end up surprising us.
And you know what? Yeah. This whole deep dive has been full of surprises.
Yeah.
From those tree rings to the DNA analysis, it's amazing what we're learning about how climate change is changing those Swedish oak forests.
And we've had some pretty big surprises along the way. I mean, who knew those northern oaks were growing just as well as their southern cousins? Or that protected areas, they don't always have way more biodiversity. It really makes you think twice about some of our ideas about conservation, you know?
It shows you that nature has a way of keeping us on our toes. Like, no matter how much we think we know, there's always something new to discover.
Mm-hmm.
And that's both a little intimidating and really, really exciting.
It really is. And for anyone listening who might be feeling overwhelmed by all this talk about climate change, who might even be feeling a little, I don't know, scared, what would you want them to take away from this? What gives you hope?
You know, for me, it's that reminder that nature is full of surprises. Even with all the challenges, especially with climate change, there's still so much resilience in these ecosystems.
Mm.
Like, who knows what other adaptations, what other solutions are out there just waiting to be discovered.
It's like a good reminder to never underestimate nature.
Exactly. We got to keep looking, keep learning, and most importantly, keep working together if we want to protect these amazing places. Thank you so much for taking us on this incredible deep dive into the world of Swedish oak forests. It's been eye-opening, to say the least.
My pleasure. It's always a good time to talk about trees.
Well, to everyone listening, thank you so much for joining us on this journey into the world of Swedish oaks and climate change. Until next time, stay curious out there.